Isn't it beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior? And we've been talking about the Savior pretty much since the beginning of this year. We're just about halfway through the year, you believe that? But one wonderful thing about that is the name of Jesus we've been talking about. The name that represents glory. The name that represents God. The name that represents power. The name that represents authority. The name that represents love, mercy, grace, and truth. And literally, we could spend a lifetime studying Jesus and we would never be able to live long enough to understand it all. He is that amazing. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful thing to be able to say that name, being a child of God, to know that Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, our King, to know that Jesus is the one who went to heaven to prepare a place for us, that one day He will return and take us up unto Himself so that where He is, we may be also. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing? And there's nothing more exciting to me than to talk about Jesus. And that's what we'll continue today. And when we do talk about Jesus, we want to remember our past lessons in a sense. You know, as we think about Jesus, I want you to think that wonderful name. And when we've studied Jesus recently, we've been studying pretty much who He was, what His names were, His titles. For example, Jesus is the Word, John chapter 1, verse 1, that was with God and came down from heaven, John chapter 1, verse 14. He is the Creator. He is the One who made all things, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was the One who came down from heaven, became flesh, walked among us. We beheld His glory as the only begotten Son of God. He brought us grace and truth. Isn't that great? Jesus, He is the Lamb of God as declared by John the Baptist. Jesus is the Messiah as we heard very clearly from Andrew there in the first chapter of John. Jesus, He is the Son of God. He is declared to be the Son of God and He is declared to be the King of Israel, which is what Nathanael said. As we turn to chapter 2, we learn that Jesus was divine. He was divine and He proved that by doing things that no other man could do. He turned water into wine. He healed people from their infirmities. He was a teacher of God, Nicodemus told us. See, He was the Savior of the world. And I should say He is the Savior of the world. Wonderful things that we learn about who Jesus is. He's the healer. He's the bread of life. And He's always with us. Isn't that wonderful? Such encouragement we should have. We should feel really good, filled with joy and zealousness about Jesus our Lord. And we want to continue throughout this year to study about Jesus. Lord willing, we'll return to a normal three services a week and we'll be able to fit other things in there. But since we're only doing one, I just want to focus on the one that really matters. Jesus. And when we think about all these titles, then we think about another title. Just the name Jesus. The name by which all men will be saved. A name which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And as we turn today to Jesus, the light of the world in John chapter 8, we're going to learn a few things about what that light is. And today's lesson is actually, and it's not going to end today. There will be more lessons on this subject, the light of the world to come. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. How many of you remember teachers in a classroom, maybe even in the church services? How many of you remember the overhead projector? We have some one in the room over here. It's sitting there. You know, maybe for nostalgia we should pull that out. Overhead projectors. You used to have to make those little cellulose slides and you had to draw them out, or sometimes there was a way to print them out, but overhead projectors. You know, that brought light into the students' eyes. They were able, and I imagine in those days they thought that was amazing. When that first came out, wow, look at that on the big screen. Can you compare that with all the things we have today? But this great title, I am the light of the world, is so much greater. You know, does anybody remember gas streetlights? You know, we used to have some in Barberton where I grew up as a very young lad, and then over the years I've seen them in different cities and towns where they had, and then sometimes in front of people's homes they have a gas light by the driveway. And that reminds me of some words that I had read by Robert Louis Stevenson. And he, as a young man, he was an author. He's the one that wrote Treasure Island. Interesting, I never read that book. But in the 19th century, before there was such a thing as electric lights in the streets, one evening his parents saw him. He was standing out there watching these lamplighters go up and down the street. And his parents said to him, "Robert, what are you looking at out there? What's so important?" And with great excitement, exclamation, Robert said, "Look, that man, he's putting a hole in the darkness. He's punching a hole in the darkness." And I want you to think about that as we learn about Jesus, the light of the world. And when we study the lesson today, that's just what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to punch a hole in the darkness. He came to be the light of the world, and His light is the only light that is powerful enough to do just that. His light's the only light that is powerful enough to punch a hole in the darkness of sin. That's what He came to do. You know, we think of His words in this chapter 1, verse 4. It tells us, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." That's what Jesus is. He came to be a light to the men, to dispel the darkness. And so, as we think about this, mankind can be saved by this light. And we want to ask the question right now, what is the darkness? If He came to punch a hole in the dark, what is the darkness? Well, Proverbs chapter 2 at verse 13 tells us that from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Darkness is something that leads people in a path of unrightness, unrighteousness. It's something that causes people to walk in what's called darkness, and that's sin. That's what the darkness is. And as we think about the darkness, we think of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, that the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And we know that's true. So many times that maybe we have friends or relatives, even family, that are on that path of darkness, that they're living lives filled with sin. And you try to help them, and some people just simply either refuse or they just can't see their sin. They're stumbling all over themselves. The ends aren't working. They're not making ends meet. They're struggling in their jobs. They're struggling in their relationships. They struggle financially. They struggle emotionally. But they can't put it together because the darkness has got a grip on them. And Jesus, He wants to punch a hole in that darkness. He wants that darkness to see the light. Darkness also in the book of Psalm chapter 82, and at verse 5 it says, "They do not know." Who are they? Those who are in the dark. "Nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable." And we think about the darkness, and you know, it is tossed to and fro. It's not filled with wisdom, not from the light above, darkness. And there are so many in the world today that are in darkness. We can be in darkness because we choose that unright path. We choose not to walk in the light. We choose to live a life of sin. We can do that. We can decide that there is no darkness in our lives. In a sense, there is no God. Therefore, there is no Jesus. Therefore, there is no light. That all mankind is the same. We all came from sludge. We all were evolved into what we are today. And that we are nothing in the scheme of evolution. How much darkness is out there teaching that to young people today? Darkness. That you're not worth anything. You wonder why so many today struggle with their lives. Struggle with their feelings and emotions. Struggle with what is right and wrong. Well, they do that because we've been taught from a very young age, you're nothing. You have no value. You live. You exist. You die. And that's it. Darkness. And this is what darkness does. Darkness prevents us from seeing the truth. You know, you think about this. In John chapter 12 and at verse 35, if you have your Bibles there, John chapter 12 and verse 35, Jesus is the one who said, "He who is in darkness does not know where he is going." You can't know where you're going when you're in the dark. I have spent time in caves where there literally is no light. And when we shut off our helmet lights and we shut off every source of light, you're in darkness. You try to walk around in that cave and you're going to stumble on some big rock. You're going to hit your head. You're going to hurt yourself, even die. And you'll never find your way around in that cave. In Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 11, darkness is described as unfruitful. It has no value. It's not going to help you. And as we move on, 2 Peter chapter 2 and at verse 4, and we think of darkness, it's like the chains that are in hell that are reserved for judgment. They're the chains that bind you and hold you from doing what is right. Darkness is simply a chain. Well, you know, what are some of the chains of darkness? Some of the chains of darkness is, of course, as we mentioned earlier here, it's the teaching that there is no God. And when you believe that, you're chained by darkness. Some of the chains of darkness is an emotional chain where you say, well, you know, if I obey the gospel today, then my grandmother, I have to admit my grandmother's lost. And that'll chain you from obeying the gospel. It'll keep you and hold you in darkness. Sometimes darkness is simply a relationship you have with a group of people like my church, my preacher. My preacher can hold and bind me in darkness like the chains of hell. When he tells me that we're saved by faith and faith alone and nothing else. And when I believe that, I'm chained up. My ears are stopped up. My eyes are stopped up. Those chains are wrapped all around me. Metaphorically, I can't move on. And there's darkness everywhere. Darkness as I'm brought up as a young child to believe that I'm saved, everybody's saved, we're all going to heaven. Or darkness that there is no heaven and there is no hell. Darkness binds you and keeps you from seeing the light. Our own thoughts that are contrary to those things which are provable in the Scriptures, they become darkness and they bind us. Darkness is that which hates the light. That's what we learn here in John chapter 3 and at verse 20. Everyone practicing evil, quote, hates the light. You know, and we just talked about many things that are literally practicing evil. There is no God. I don't need God. I don't need to be baptized. I was saved when I was a young lad, and when I asked Jesus in my heart, I felt that, you can't tell me, I felt it. Chains of darkness. And everyone who practices evil, sin, hates the light. And as a result, what happens? They do not come to the light. They shun that light. They build up arguments against the light. They build up a wall of protection around them, which they think is protecting them, and the whole time all it's doing is chaining them up in darkness. All the arguments of all the scientists, all the arguments of all the Calvinists, all the arguments, they're just chains of darkness, like the chains of hell. My friends, don't let the chains of your darkness keep you from seeing. Let the power of Jesus and the truth of God's Word punch a hole through that darkness. You're the only one that can take that step. You're the only one. And so we think about darkness and what it is and how it affects us in our lives. And if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we have to understand there is good things and there is bad things. And if we were to try to understand and associate good and bad, then we would associate God as good and holy, the devil as evil and bad. And the Bible tells us so much about those two opposites. And in fact, light is an opposite of God. When we think about the light, it's the opposite of darkness. We just read John chapter 3, verse 21, or 20. Look at verse 21. What did he go on to say? He says that, but he who does the truth comes to the light. So what is the light? The light is truth. And those who practice the truth, who do the truth, are stepping into the light. It's like the song that we sang before the lesson, stepping into the light. And we want to think about that. The deeds of those who step in the light, they're clearly seen that they're done in God. You know, therefore, the light is a representation of those who walk the upright path and the way of good. And listen, the upright path and the way of good is not a social gospel. We're not talking about the good things that men do to help this world. We're not talking about food kitchens and community health centers and serving as a volunteer in a hospice center or a family nursing home or assisted living. We're not talking about going out and helping the poor with what God has blessed you with. Those are all good things, and they're expected. But we're talking about walking the upright path, the righteous path, that holy highway that God has provided. Walking in the light means walking in the Word of God. It means that you're doing the things that God has called you to do. And you don't do the things that He's asked you not to do or commanded you. It means that we worship God in spirit and truth. It means that we accept the Bible, book, chapter, and verse. We look to the Bible. We ask questions like, what saith the Lord? And that's how we walk in the way that is good, because God Himself is good. As we go on, you know, the light of those who were there, the light in those know where they are going. Those who have the light, they know where they're going. Because that light lights our path. It gives us direction. It gives us a place to turn, a place to go. It is having an understanding of what is right in the sight of God. You know, we read the book of Romans chapter 12 at verse 2 that we are not to be conformed to this world, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Taking in the Word of God, renewing our mind. That we may what? Prove. What is that good? There's that Word, acceptable and pleasing in the sight of our God. We want to walk in the light, but we need to do that by conforming ourselves to the Word of God. And that creates in us an understanding, a sure foundation, as it were. In Psalm chapter 85, and at verse 2, it talks about those who do not understand. They walk about in darkness, but all the foundations of the earth are unstable. But those who are opposed to the darkness are on a stable foundation. Psalm 119, and at verse 30, we read those very, very words. God is the entrance. His words is the entrance that gives light. Think about that. If we want to be in the light, it has to come through the Word of God. It has to come through God who is light. That's what gives light. That's what gives understanding to the simple. That's what we read from the psalmist in 119 in that verse 30. To have understanding. Not in a worldly sense, not in a secular sense. There are many, many, many people in this world that are 1,000 times brighter than I am when it comes to understanding and knowing things about the world, science and history and sociology and psychology and medicine and so many people. If I were to try to compare my mind with some of theirs, I would just feel so inadequate. But we have the Word of God, which means we'll never be inadequate. That gives us a sure foundation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and at verse 6, it's the light that draws us to God. We think of that text and realize that Jesus literally is the light. Jesus is the Word where we read that we studied that. He's the Word that was with God and was God. In Him was the life. And the life was the light of men. And as we contemplate Jesus and we think about His Word, Jesus is the Word, literally, which is light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, "For it is the God who commanded light." What did God command the light to do? God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. We have to understand that without God there isn't light. He commanded that light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Think about God, His compassion, His love, all the things that He's done to guide men to heaven. All the examples of the slaves in Egypt. Or you can go back to the garden where God made promises that He would send a Savior into the world and that He set Adam and Eve free in this world. To have more children and more children and more children after them. Even in the days of Noah, when God saw that the heart of men was evil continually, dark continually, filled with sin, God still, being the light of the world, He still has hope and a plan for man. And so the majority of the world was saved. Eight souls were or lost and eight souls were saved because of God's mercy. And those eight souls went on. And as a result, we're here today. That light shines out of darkness. That light takes those chains of darkness and cuts them off. And He does that one by one. Did you believe there is no God? Well, look at all of creation and the wonder of creation. And let me ask you a question. You really believe that all this is an accident? Let me ask you another question. The Bible tells us that a man named Jesus came into the world. There is all kinds of secular writers, historians that say the same thing. Do you believe there was no Jesus? You believe it's just a story like the three bears? The Bible has been around many, many thousands of years. And in recent history, men have tried to dispel this word by proving it's wrong. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever done it? I'm hoping that you're saying no to all those, which means that the actual response is yes. There was a Jesus. Yes, He is the light of the world. Yes, the Bible is true. And so on. And that's what the light does. The light doesn't need a defense. The light simply cuts those chains away. And so when you answer those questions, no, what's the obvious conclusion? That light is understanding. It came from God. It's a sure foundation. It's not something that is subjective by man's device. It is objective coming down from heaven. It's God's Word. That is what the light is. And Jesus is that Word. And Jesus is that light. Psalm 119:105, we're all familiar with that. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:106, and I swear I will keep your righteous judgments. I confirm and swear I will keep your righteous judgments. That's the light. That's walking in the light. The light bears good fruit. And it is freedom from sin and judgment. John chapter 8 and at verse 12. You remember that? That was the verse that was read in the beginning. Jesus, He says, I am the light of the world, the light of the world. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Remember, Jesus was the life, and the life was the light. You follow Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. You listen to the words of this book, and you try to prove them wrong, and will you be able to do that? No. And because of that, if you follow in the footsteps of Jesus, you will no longer walk in darkness. Jesus and the Word of truth will cut those chains that bind you and keep you. Those chains that have your head thinking, you know, I'm too embarrassed to come forward in front of all these people. The chains that tell you that I just can't see any reason at all by why being dunked in some water has anything to do with salvation. The chains that keep you from obeying the gospel. That's what the light does. It begins with the good fruit of your faithful confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It continues there and frees you from the bondage and the slavery of sin. That's what the light does. It was the light of God through Moses that caused the people to walk out of Egypt a free people. Freed them from the bondage of slavery. It's Jesus Christ who came into this world to lead us out of the bondage of sin, the darkness, and the chains of hell. As we, you know, the light of God, it helps us to bear good fruit. It gives us freedom. It allows us to have judgment. Good judgment. And Jesus is the source and the power of that light. He is the one who can punch a hole through the darkness if you'll listen. If you allow your eyes to see, Jesus is the one. Darkness is all around. There's nothing new about the darkness. And I can tell you firsthand that when you open your eyes to the light of the Lord, great things happen. Psalm 107:14, He will bring you out of darkness through the shadow of death and break the chains of darkness. That's what He will do. He, the light of the world. And when you let the Lord in, when you allow the Spirit of God to be your guide and your light, when you allow the things that you know are true to control your future, when you allow the words of God and His commandments to be yours, when you step out into the light. Isaiah chapter 42 verse 16 tells us some things. Did you know that when you do that, He will guide you along the way that you did not know? Just a new way. New to you because you weren't in the light before. He will lead you in paths that you have not known. He will make darkness light before you. It's that moment of epiphany when you say, "Oh, I see. Is there a God? If you know, would you be willing today to say there is no God?" Okay, I hope you said no. Would you be willing to say today that the Bible is nothing but a book of stories? There's no history behind it. There's no facts behind it. There's nothing provable in this book. I hope you're willing to say no. Do I have an eternal soul? I hope you say yes. But are you willing to say there is no eternity, that there is no soul in man? Are you willing to admit and full-heartedly say that there is nothing after death? He will make darkness light before you. He'll help you to see all those no's and to be able to say yes. He makes the crooked place straight. And He will not forsake you. That's what the light does. That's what the light is all about. And that's what Jesus is. You know, as we look at this, I'm praying to the Lord that you'll be able to be here next week and continue in this lesson. To be able to come and look at the context and the background of this lesson about Jesus being the light. To continue learning more through this chapter about those very, very things. More about what we can do to become more like Him. To step into the light and to be progressing daily in our studies and our learning. And to grow in the faith and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there is a place of darkness. And when you think about that place, realize that it's not a place you really want to be. If you continue to walk in darkness here in this world, then you will be in darkness when you die. If you're in darkness when you die, according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 25, if you look in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you, look at Matthew chapter 25. And you read there in verse 30 what Jesus had to say about that darkness. And when He talks about that darkness, he talks about an unprofitable servant, somebody who's lived their entire life to no profit, no profit to God. They're walking in darkness. Where will they spend eternity? In darkness. And it's not just darkness. He describes that darkness as outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is that where you want to spend your eternity? You know, then there's the other place. The other place that he talks about in Revelation chapter 22 and at verse 5. Again, if you have your Bible, look at that. Revelation chapter 22 and at verse 5. What is it that Jesus says to us there, or the Spirit of God? 22 of verse 5. This is what he says. There shall be no night there. This is heaven. They need no lamp or light of the sun. This is heaven. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is heaven. I'd like you to think about what was read in your hearing this morning in John chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. We all know this account in the life of Jesus and those Jews. Jesus was on that Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came into the temple. And the scriptures tell us that there were those who, they wanted to trick Jesus, they wanted to confuse Jesus, they wanted him to give answers that weren't true so that they could have something to accuse him of. And they brought to him a woman who was caught in adultery. And they set her in the midst of Jesus and they said, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery." The very act. And they said, "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" Remember that Jesus is the light of the world. The light doesn't need a defense. The light is truth. And what's remarkable about this account of this woman caught in adultery and these Jews that have nothing but darkness in their hearts, they just want to destroy the light. They want to bring Jesus to his knees. But what did the light do? One thing that we understand about the light is in verse 7. The light paid no attention to the evil. That's what we want to do. We don't pay any attention to that evil. They continued to ask Jesus as he had been down drawing in the sand as though he didn't hear a word they said. You just let them talk. And when they're done talking, when they let all their air out, when the evil is done doing its business, then you stand up. And the light of the world said, "He who is without sin, let him throw the first stone at her." And when you read that and you understand that the light, it didn't coexist with the evil, but it opened the eyes of the evil. And we see that it opened their eyes because we see that in verse 9, they heard it, they were convicted by the truth. You know, here's another question for you. You can answer this yes or no. Are you willing to say that you've lived an entire life without sin? Would you say that? These people may not have said a word, but they realized the light opened their eyes, and they realized we're sinners too. You see that? And but one by one they left. And then Jesus asked that woman, "Where are your accusers?" And you know what she said? She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and stop that sinning." Today we're asking the same question. Again, do you actually believe? Would you admit that you've never sinned? And if that answer is no, then today you need to make a change in your life. You need to come into the light. You need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to confess that He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins that you know you have, and be baptized for the remission of those sins, being added to the body of Christ. And if you're a Christian and you've already done those things and yet you have not been stepping in the light, you can repent this day and make a change. Whatever you need today, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.